that was good. Amen. Good singing tonight. Good song. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Find that passage of Scripture. We're going to begin reading in just a moment. And verse number 14. And just take a few minutes tonight to look at this parable and flip over to Luke 16 at the end. Don't turn there now. We'll get there in just a little bit. Let me talk to you again about our preparation for our building commitment coming up on December 17th. Now, you must not tire of this, folks. You must not grow weary of it. We must just talk about it and concentrate on that. This is the time. This is the season. It is upon us. It's here. And we want to do God's will. And we want to be right in God's plan for this church. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what our opportunities are going to be. Now, Sunday morning, December 17th, we're going to do something highly unusual. At the 11 o'clock hour, the representatives from Professional Building Services will be here, and we're going to have one of those computerized visual walkthroughs. Some of you know what that is, where you'll actually walk through the building, the floor plan, and you'll also see on the screen the three exterior options, the three options for the exterior of the building that we have. I personally don't believe that we can afford, maybe we don't even need, the exterior option that is on the drawing out here. That would be the stone that goes up all the corners, and we have no leeway on the elevator part because that has to be block and brick by code. That can't be anything but block and brick. And so in order to match that part of the building, they did the little storage area on the new part in block and stone, brick and stone as well. But I'm not sure we need the stone going up all the exterior corners of the building. They can do things now with what they call architectural panel, and it slides together. They brought samples of it, and it doesn't look like the steel panel that's on that building now. It looks it's almost seamless. It's just a very small seam. And the texture of it would be like the texture of the south wall of the church here. It would be like a textured look. And they can do that in different colors. They can do the corners in the same color of the stone on this building to make it match color-wise. I really think that's probably the option we'd like to do. The economy option is the stone and the brick would be the luxury. And the architectural panel would be your family type car, if you want to put it that way. And then the steel panel, which is what we've got over there now. If that's all we can afford, they can dress that up a little bit, use the stone around the bottom, and have the steel panel. That would be the economy option, okay? So we got three options when it comes to the exterior. You understand that we're still, Dennis and I, and anybody's input, we're talking to the fellows in the church who have maybe expertise in a certain area, trying to get the input about my friend out in Iowa that does the glazing, the windows. He hasn't got back to us yet. James Carr took the plans to his boss for the flooring and to see if they would have any way to be, help us out there with better cost. So there's still a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do in preparation for this as far as on our end goes. But we're going to take the commitments on the 17th, and we're going to start giving on the first Sunday in January, regardless if the commitment is there to pay for the building or not, because we're going to have to do something eventually, if not now. So we're going to take the commitments, and we're going to start the giving. And, we got a lot to do. You can't, unless you would sit in on a meeting with us, you can't understand how good God has been to give us Dennis Cowson in this church. That man is a walking encyclopedia when it comes to building from the floor to the finish. I mean, and everything current he knows, and it is just a blessing. It's fun to watch him put them on the hot seat. Amen. And because, they pretty well feel like churches don't have a lot of sin. And a lot of churches don't have a lot of sin. If it was me, we'd be in trouble. We'd be in big trouble, But boy, has God given us the perfect man, Brother Cowson, and his interest is in this church. I'll promise you, man, he works them. And that's a blessing. And so he knows all kind of things. And, I told you earlier, it really is not big enough to do what we like to do if there were unlimited resources. I'd love to have our own Spanish chapel. I'd love to have our own fellowship hall. That's why you see that multi-purpose room there. It's not a gym. We're not even calling it a gym. We're calling it a multi-purpose room. The flooring is going to be so that we can do everything in there, not just basket. The sports is not the number one priority. It's one of many things that are important around here, okay? And so we're trying to do the best with every dollar. And it would be nice to have a huge kitchen. Somebody said the kitchen should be bigger. You get into codes, extreme expensive codes when you get above a certain size in a kitchen. And Brother Calson started listing all those things that you've got to have, which he has been doing up in a project recently. And he just said, absolutely not. We do not want to go there. It's not necessary for our church. It's tremendously expensive to do that. So, what you see out there, folks, isn't just somebody sitting down and saying, how about this? There's a lot of thought that's gone into that already, okay? And when you got a guy like Dennis looking at it and really, really critiquing it, I hope it'll be very functional for us. So I'm excited about it. I look at these kids. Now, you see, that's the elementary school, okay? And it's the largest it's ever been. And we'd like to get more in next year. And so the classrooms are crowded. I just wish did you see the imbalance in the number of girls and the number of boys? Did you see that? Did you know in the high school it's exactly the opposite? The boys outweigh the girls, but I suppose they do outweigh them, but they outnumber the girls. I mean, it's incredible. So I was trying to think of a way to either get these girls grown up so they can start looking at, the boys can start looking at the elementary. How do you get the high school boys? How do you get the girls grown up so that they can start, saying, she's pretty, and he's nice looking, or I don't know. But anyway, it's imbalanced the way it is right now, okay? And so I'm just teasing. I'm not worried about that one bit. In fact, we try to discourage that. Amen. That takes place on its own. But anyway, I'm excited about the school. I'm excited about the Sunday school. I'm excited about the building. I finally have peace about it. I'm excited about that. Amen. After several months of just, boy, Lord, what should we do? So let me talk to you a little bit tonight out of Matthew 25. Dear Father, bless our talk from your word tonight. Teach us again something that'll just help us, Lord. May this be another nail to hang our hats on and just know that we're doing right and encourage us to do right and take these moments and bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage contains one of the several kingdom of heaven parables. You have one in verses 1 through 13, and you have a kingdom of heaven parable in verses 14 through 30. These parables, I believe these parables, these kingdom of heaven parables, several of them in the New Testament. Remember, let me just go over it one more time for folk that come in and maybe don't hear it, haven't heard it before. In the Old Testament writers, the Old Testament saints, they did not see on the prophetical timeline, they could not see the day and age in which we are now living. The church age, it was a mystery, all right? So it was unseen to the Bible writers, unseen to the Old Testament saints. Now watch this. They saw the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. A lot of prophecy about that in the Old Testament. They saw His return to the earth, His second coming. They saw His millennial kingdom. But that the filler between His death, burial, resurrection, and His ascension, and between that and between His second coming to the earth, they did not see that time. It's like a great big valley, like you're standing on one mountain peak and looking across at the other, and there's one behind it, and you can't tell how long and how deep the valley is when you're looking at those peaks like that. They look real close together. They could not see this time period which we're now living. With Jesus in the kingdom of heaven parables, he let the disciples peek behind the curtain. He let them see a little bit or learn a little bit about the day and age in which we are living. These parables teach us about the influence of the gospel during the church age, the age of grace. Now, this particular parable, beginning in verse 14 about the talents, this particular parable has a lot of different applications that can be rightfully used. But I believe the principal application concerns the gospel. That's because of the last verse in this passage, verse number 30, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I don't think there's any question that's talking about hell. All right? Well, there's other verses in the Bible. So I think the principal application here concerns the influence of the gospel. How many folks, look at me. Don't tell me that American people haven't had more opportunity for biblical influence than some of those tribal people living in those remote mountain areas of some other countries who've yet to hear the name of Jesus Christ. We've been given a lot of opportunity spiritually in this country. All right? And I think the principal application involves the gospel. How much exposure have you had to the gospel? How much fruits it brought forth in your life? You know, we're quick to criticize people who are newly saved or growing in grace because they've still got maybe some habits or things going on. But again, how much exposure have they had to Bible truth? How much exposure have you and I had to Bible truth? All right? So that's a big time thing. Now, the bottom line interpretation of this parable, the bottom line teaching here concerns the matter of investment and return. Investment and return. Investment and return. Look at verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. In the previous parable, Jesus is pictured as the bridegroom who will come for his bride someday. That's verses 1 through 13. And then in this parable, beginning in verse 14, he is pictured as a man traveling into a far country. The word traveling suggests that like the bridegroom left and then returned to meet his bride, to get his bride. And in the same way, the man traveling into a far country suggests he is not going to the far country to stay. He is going to return again. All right? So that's the suggestion here. Now, look at verse number 15. And unto one, after calling the servants together, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now, the word talent here is used to describe the goods the man left in care of his servants. Some people use this word to mean a talent of some quality or gift or ability. You know, the talent could be that of teaching and singing and preaching and helping and so forth and so on. Now, that's a decent application because God's gift of some ability to each one of us is very important. And he has given every person in the church some ability, some talent. And he expects us to invest that talent that he has given us. Without it, we wouldn't have it, but we're not for him. And so he's given it for us to use in his work. And when we don't invest those talents, God help people who take talents that God intended for their primary use to be in his church and use them only for personal monetary gain. God help that. Amen. That's what I'm talking about tonight, see. So that's what some people, that's okay. That's a good application. That's a decent application because God's gift of some ability to any one of us is precious. It's invaluable, and we need to invest it in God's work. But the word talent refers to a sum of money. When you do the word study, it's talking about a sum of money. So I understand here that the man, for the application tonight, gave these 3 servants a sum of money. Now let me point out 3 or 4 things. Number 1, his servants. Verse number 14, the Bible uses the term his own servants. These people were not someone else's servants, they were his own. This is you and me. We are his servants. And folks, let me say this, problems with my Christian growth and my Christian experience begin immediately when I get away from the truth that I am a servant of God. And the same thing is true about you. Now, we may all wear certain hats, and in the course of this life, we may be given a title necessary for performing a particular task. But if we ever see ourselves anything more than just a servant of Jesus Christ, we will begin to experience trouble in our Christian growth. That's all Paul ever saw himself as. In fact, he referred to himself as a bond slave. A bond slave. Bond servant. Okay? That's how Paul viewed himself. God forbid that we would ever view ourselves anything more than just a servant of Jesus Christ. And he called his own servants. Okay? Again, I'll reiterate what I said on Sunday. I don't expect the people of the First Baptist Church in Hammond to build this building for us. I don't expect the people at Northwest Bible Baptist Church to build this building. I tell you what, I am a little bit tired of getting letters from churches soliciting funds from other churches to help them with their building needs. I'm a little bit tired of that. I'm a little bit tired of getting letters from churches asking other churches to help them honor their pastor. You know, folks, let's just do what we're going to do right here. We want to be a blessing to people that we feel led to be a blessing to. You know who God has put the people on this corner to put this project into gear. Okay? And we're not going to write Dwight and ask them for contributions. And we're not going to ask Northwest for contributions. And we're not. God has put us here. This man called his own service together and entrusted them with a sum of money. Look at number two. His money. His money. I want you to follow the wording of these verses and see if there's any question as to what we're talking about here. Look at verse number 14. Delivered unto them his goods. Look at verse number 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents. There's the word talents. To another 2. That's 2 talents. To another 1. 1 talent. All right. Look at verse number 18. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Verse number 27. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Now, I don't know how many times down through the parable here, it's obvious that the money, the sum of money that was given, did not belong to these men. It is clear who owned the goods. It is clear that these goods were monetary in nature. And it is clear that this man was the one who owned the goods. He's the one who passed them down. Now, this is something else we must remember in our journey through this life. We are not the owner of any of our possessions. Now, I had this thought, you know, does that mean we're to be careless with the things that God has given us because they don't belong to us? No. In fact, as we view life on the horizontal plane, we must treat our goods as if we are the owner. But we must be careful that we must be careful with them and not be foolish with them. But we must always remember to take the vertical view as well, which reminds us that although I am taking care of these as if they were mine, they really don't belong to me. They really belong to him. He owns it all. He owns my house. I want to take care of the house. And by the way, if God has given me that house to live in and ultimately he owns it, why wouldn't I take care of it? If God has given me the car I drive and ultimately he's the owner of it, why wouldn't I take care of it? You understand what I'm saying? And that's how it is with all of our possessions, okay? So horizontally, I want to look at things in this life, the things that I possess. There you go. I possess. I want to look at them as my responsibility to take care of and do the best with. But ultimately, I don't want to forget this. When I look at life in this way, I can remember God is the owner of everything. He owns everything that I have. And so he gave these men. He was the one who owned this. This man gave these servants. Now, number 3, I want you to look at his servants and his money, what they did here. Verses 16 through 19a. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 talent, one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh. Now, each servant was given a different sum of money. The first 2 servants traded. Do you see the word there? He that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. That word traded is they put the money to work. They engaged the money in some business. All right? These 2 servants gained. That is, they saw an increase in the investment of the money. They received the money from the owner. Then they took it and they put that money to work. They went and traded with it and they gained. They had not only the principal, but they gained interest as well. In fact, these first 2 men saw a 100% increase. They doubled the investment. If you want to let each talent, for easy thinking purposes, if you want to let each talent represent $20, the first man received $100 and he put that $100 to work. And he gained $100. So when the Lord came back, he had $200. Second man put his $40 that he was given to work. He put it to work. He went to business with that $40 and he gained $40. So now he's got 80. He's got his principal and he's got 100% increase to give to the man when he came back. Now, the principal amounts were different. One had $100 and one had $40, but the return percentage was equal. And listen to me, no matter what end of the spectrum you're on, like we talked about Sunday, the financial spectrum, from the poorest person in the auditorium, the church membership, to the wealthiest person monetarily in the church membership, look at me, no matter what the sum is, the return percentage is equal. Are you with me tonight, folks? Understand? You know, you can't ever get to thinking, well, just because this person and this person and this person and this group of people, boy, they've got a lot to invest in. They're going to get a lot in return in this in the way of eternal blessings. No, the percentage return was the same. It was 100% return for both those men. Principal amounts were different, but they were the same return. Now, the third man, this third servant, he dug a hole in the earth and put the money in the hole. And the Bible says they had a long time to make something out of this money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes. So he's gone a long time. So that means those two men, that first man with that five talents, that second man with those two talents, that means they worked at this for a long time. I want to say something. You understand that when we take this building commitment for 2007, we're taking it for 1 year. What am I going to commit to give for 1 year, the year 2007, to make this building a reality? But understand, folks, it will not be paid for in 1 year. This building will not be paid for in 2 or 3 years. This building is going to take a while to pay for. Now, if you're going into that with your eyes closed, you need to get your eyes wide open. That's why let me be cautious. Let me err on the side of caution. Okay? Because I understand we're not talking here about it. It's not 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years and done. We're in this thing for a long. This is going to be a little bit longer. Unless God does something miraculous, and He can. And He may. Amen. He may do something. He may do something miraculous. It may happen quicker than I think or anybody thinks. But it's going to be a longer time. And we need to know that. We need to know that up front. Look at it with our eyes wide open so we understand this. It's going to be a longer time to pay for this building than it was for this one we had here. But these men had a long time to make something out of this money before the Lord returned. Now, that brother, they stayed faithful with it for a long time. Now, I want you to look at the reckoning. Verse 19b, look at it. And reckoneth with them. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. After a long absence, the man returned and set up an appointment to interview or to reckon with his servants. This was a verbal accounting between the owner of the money and those who were entrusted to do something with it. This was a face-to-face meeting. This was not a written report that was faxed over to the home office. This was face-to-face. Sit down, and what have you done with what I gave you? This was a sit-down, show me the result of your investment. Look at servant number one, verse number 20. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. He's doubled his investment. Saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them on top of those 5 talents more, 100% increase. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So he is commended and he gains responsibility in eternity. I'm going to make you rule over many things. Got a lot of responsibility for you in eternity. Second man comes, verse number 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He gained commendation and he gained responsibility in eternity. Same thing. Now servant number 3 comes. Verse number 23, his Lord said, verse number 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He immediately begins to lay the blame for his laziness and his lack of obedience on the owner. You, sir, are a hard man. Expecting a return from places where you have not even made an investment. That's not true. I was afraid of losing everything and having nothing because I know how hard and austere you are. So I dug a hole in the ground because I didn't want to lose what you gave me. And there is where you'll find your money. Verse 25, 26. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. He received condemnation and loses everything. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not straw. Don't lose that there. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. And the Lord was saying, using your excuse about me being a hard and austere man, using your excuse, the least you could have done is taken the talent to a broker or an exchanger. If you didn't want to handle it yourself, the least you could have done was taken it to somebody who was in the business of making money. That's the least you could have done. And if you had taken it to them, I would have received my principal with some interest. At least this man could have shown enough concern to have given the money to someone else for investment purposes. That's what the Lord is saying here. Now, and he's condemned. Now, what was the Lord interested in? He was interested in a return on the investment. I gave you an investment. I wanted to see some return on that. You have absolutely no return. Folks, here's the bottom line. The Lord expects us to place some money that He's given us in matters which yield eternal interest. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for investment, and He's looking in eternal matters that yield eternal interest. This third man hid the money in the earth. Too many of God's people have all of what the Lord has given us invested in earthly matters. Earthly matters are what? Temporal. They last as long as the earth lasts. And then they're gone. God is looking for something more than that. When the Lord comes to reckon with us, what will we have to show Him as far as eternal interest is concerned? Look, if all we had to invest is hidden in vehicles and lands and houses and outbuildings and recreational vehicles and animals and clothes and stocks and bonds and CDs and appliances and furniture and jewelry, what eternal interest will have accumulated? We're going to point to all of those items and say, There, Lord, is the result of the money you gave me. There thou hast that is thine. He doesn't want that. God is interested in some eternal return on the investments He's given us. That's what He's interested in. And that's what, folks, we got to be. I'm not, again, not saying that people need to place themselves on a poverty level to build this building over here, but we've got to make sure that, listen, the tithe is just obedience. If you feel like you're investing because you tithe, I disagree with you on that. The tithe is being honest. You begin to invest when you go beyond the 10%. When you move beyond that into giving to missions or giving to a building or something like this, that's when you are beginning to invest some of what God has given you. The tithe is not an investment. It's obedience. All right? So if I'm going to have eternal returns, I've got to move beyond the 10% realm into the 11, 12, 15, 20, wherever it is I can go. And put some of that in eternal matters. Matters that will yield an eternal return. A lot of you folks put money into this auditorium. I want to tell you something. Yes, some people who were one time here are no longer here, and they are out in the world and their lives are a disaster. I understand that. But there's a lot of people whose lives have been strengthened and changed by the truth preached in this building. That's eternal results. That's eternal return. Look at verse 28. Look at what he says here. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. That verse makes the socialist-minded person nauseated. Take from the one who has the least and give to the one who has the most. Lenin and Stalin would turn over in their graves if they could. Their philosophy, socialism, is take from the one that has the most and give it to the one who has the least. Well, that's what it is. Amen. That's what socialism is. Make everybody one class. It's called the bourgeois. Communist word, the bourgeois. Everybody's common. Make everything common. Socialism is not taught in the Bible. Take the talent from that one that has the least and give it unto the one that has the most. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you suppose men who invest in the stock market are any wiser than God? So if they're investing in the stock market and they're investing something in a company that absolutely has no return on their investment, and they've got other stuff invested in this company over here that's doubling and tripling and maybe 10 times their investment, they're probably going to take a long look at that and pull out of this company and put it over here. Now, I don't suppose God is any dumber, if you let me say that, than those men. Amen? In fact, he's much, much wiser. So what I'm saying is this. They move their investment from one company to another in order to receive a greater return. That's being wise and careful, and that's what the Lord does. The traveling man desired for his investment to be in the hands of someone who would guarantee a return. Now listen, people who have learned to invest in that which yields eternal returns are blessed of God. People who fail to respond to the opportunity to invest in the Lord's work run a risk. They run a risk. And that's the honest truth. Now look at this right here. Look at Luke. See, you see those words right there in verse 21 and 23 where he said, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." See that? He said that to both those men, right? Now you need to cross-reference that with Luke 16. Look over there at Luke 16. We're done. Luke 16. He says in verse 10, "He that is faithful," let's talk about the steward now, the unjust steward. "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," if you like to write in your Bible, you circle the word unrighteous mammon and draw a line up to the word least. Do you know what the least is? In God's viewpoint, the least is money. In God's view, this is the least. To Americans' view, this is the most. But in God's economy, this is the least. God says, this is the least. The true riches are the much. Now watch what he says. If you haven't been faithful in that which is the least. And that's what these fellows were. The Lord said, "You have been faithful over a few things, the least of the things, like the little bitty stuff, the money stuff. You've been faithful over that. You put the money to work. You got some return on your investment. Now I'm going to give you responsibilities in eternity. I'm going to make you rule over many things in heaven." I'm simply saying this, folks. Look, we need a bunch of men with five talents. We need a bunch of people with two talents. We need a bunch of people with four and three and one. We need a bunch of people who will just take what the Lord has given us and put some of it to work in eternal matters. And we have the opportunity to do that with missions, and many of you are already doing that. And now we have the opportunity to do it with the building. And I hope that that's what you'll do. You need to pray and consider, okay, Lord, beyond the 10%, what can I take and invest? You've given it to me. What can I put in this matter of eternity, this eternal matter that's going to reap eternal benefits? The Word of God's going to be taught in that building. I mean, how many times in a year's time? How many Bible lessons? How much teaching will go on over there? It's incredible. It's not for the purpose of only running up and down the floor to shoot a ball through a hoop. There's a lot of space over there devoted to the teaching and preaching. And by the way, they'll put chairs out every Sunday on that floor and set up for junior church, and they'll be preaching in that multipurpose room every Sunday. So it's a great opportunity for us to go to what God has given us Here's what I tithe, and here's what I put into missions, and I'm going to look, and I want to take some of what God has given me. Boy, you know, when the Lord comes, I want Him to say, you know what? You were faithful. You were faithful over that which was the least. Faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to make you ruler over many. Eternal blessings. Eternal responsibilities. Eternal joys. That'll be ours because we took a certain amount of that money that God invested in us and put it to work in eternal matters. Different principal amounts, but the same return percentage. Now, you know, more than one person has said to me, "Boy, Pastor, with 150 people giving," I think somebody said it Sunday, Brother Bowling might have said, "150 people giving $10, you got to take care of it. That's the last thing we need. That's the last thing we need. That's not equal sacrifice." For some people, $10 would be a sacrifice. For others, $10 would be a tip. Well, amen. You don't have to say amen, but that's true. For some, $10 would be a... For others, $10 would be a sneeze. The last thing we need is for everybody to give $10. What we need is for everybody to look at what God has given. That's one of the reasons I took her on this trip. And because Ben and Ashley were going to be there and the grandbaby. And all of a sudden, well, we get real interested in traveling when the grandchildren are involved. Amen. But one of the reasons I wrote down, I think I still got it with me. No, I don't have it with me. At home on the desk, but I took a piece of paper and I wrote down on the piece of paper several things that I needed to talk to her about. And it was a 4-hour drive and we needed time to talk. Several things. One of the things we talked about was our building commitment. We talked about it. What are we going to do? What are we going to change? What are we going to cut? What are we going to do without? What are we going to do? And that's bad. For me just to say, yeah, I can give $10, that will kill what needs to happen. But for some people, that's a lot. But for others, that's not that much. It's not equal gifts. It's equal sacrifice. We need the tens, and we need the hundreds, and we need the 25s, and we need the 75s, and we need the 50s and the 30s. It needs to be a broad range. Everybody doing their part. Investing in eternal matters. All right? May God help us to obey Him, do His will. And I think it'll happen. I really do. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer together tonight. Dear Father, please help us. It's really funny when it comes to money. It does take a lot to live, Lord. But sometimes our tastes, or should we set the bar too high? Help us, Lord, please. I believe You want us to move ahead with this project, and I believe You've assembled the people on this street corner to do it. And Lord, I just pray that we'll be obedient to You. May everyone take a good, long, hard look at what You've invested in us, and may we make sure we put some of it in matters that are eternal in nature. Be guide and bless in this crucial commitment. Now, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song. I hope you enjoy about it. Thank you. if you would like to have Brother Hanks's devotional booklet, we need to get those ordered pretty quick, so sign up for those. They have adult and children books available. Our bus visitation meeting this Saturday, 9:30 for the soul winning time. Don't forget that. Brother Brian's Sunday school class, Caleb class, having an activity this Friday, December 8th. Please be sure and see him if you're going, starting at the church at 4 o'clock still, Brother Maxwell. I think that's all the announcements that we have. Yes, that's it. And have a safe trip home. Thanks for coming out tonight. Shake hands with somebody on your way. God bless you. Be careful. Bye-bye.